I want to talk about who we can blame for the sorry state of the nature of our children in America. I came with a list of 25 people that we ought to blame for the problems in our, in our world, because our kids, kids on drugs, kids rebelling, kids, the whole thing. The kids are the problem. I mean, they were the problem when I was born. Anybody here go through the hippie generation? We can tell by your hairstyle, by the way, dude, I just want to say this with great love. If you got really long hair and a ponytail and you have no hair on top, we know. We know. It's over. The movement died. I'm sorry. You need to move on. Get something else. But I love what Socrates said. Fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone and gather wealth as much as you can, and yet take so little care of your children, to whom you must relinquish it all? We live in a country, I think, that if we were to name this era, looking back in history, it would be the blame era. We want to blame everyone. I came up with a list of 25 people we can blame for the demise of our children. The government, school, MTV, CMT, GAC, IBM, global warming, the rise of Walmart, that's one of the problems, iPods, iPhones, text, MySpace, of the devil, Facebook, Satan, I'm being a little facetious, but isn't that how it is? We think that everyone else out there is a problem with our kids, and the truth of the matter is, parents are the most influential people in the lives of our children. We're it. Our children are our privilege, and yet they're also our responsibility. And in this series called Fight Back, we talk about the best things in life are free, but you're going to have to fight to keep them. Our relationships with other people, our marriage, and our children. God has entrusted to us our children. And we're to raise them and train them. Listen to what the scriptures say. Train a child in the way you think he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Yeah. Doesn't say that, does it? No. Paul and I, first vacation we got married was to Texas. And her uncle went to Austin, Texas, which is one of my favorite places on the planet. I just announced that Chewy's is coming to Cool Springs, and oh my gosh, you will be raving. We'll all be over there every Sunday afternoon to Chew's, man, causing a riot. But nonetheless, Austin's one of my favorite places, and her uncle took us out to Johnson City, where President Lyndon Baines Johnson was born. And we went to his home place, and we got out, and we looked in. It's a very modest home. And there was a tree in the front yard. It had all these cables and ropes and everything. It was a little weird. And it was pulled over and pulled down, and I asked the caretaker, I said, "What is that?" And he says, "We're training the tree." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." So we're training the tree to go against the grain. We wanted the tree to go this way, and so we have to pull it. He said, "Every tree grows with its grain, and we're trying to train it against the grain." Well, I found a lot of people try to do that with kids. The scriptures say, "Train a child in the way he is bent." And how many of you know, I have three daughters, they're all different. Their personalities are different. Their energy level is different. They deal with stress differently. They're gifted differently. They're a mixture. They're an individual. What do you think? We're all individuals, and we're all different, and we're bent a little bit differently. And my job as a father is to be a student of my child. How can I train my daughters in the way they are gifted or bent if I don't pay attention to who they are and really pour time and attention into them? How about this one? I love this. This is my favorite parenting verses. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is right and good. Honor your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father, things will go well for you. If you don't honor your father, you're going to hell. And then honoring father and mother thing is really tough, isn't it? Because it's hard to honor people who are not honorable. As a matter of fact, if you go on down and read this, you get this. Fathers, do not exacerbate, provoke your children to anger by the way you what? So if you want your children to honor you, you must first prove to be honorable. So this is a relationship that goes both ways. Our children are not our property. They're not chattel. We don't own them. Here are the mistakes I see parents making over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I've made my share of them too. Listen, I just want to say my three daughters are here and I just want to admit in public, I am not stupid, but I am a carrier. Now here's what I mean. I know all the right things to do. I just don't always do them. How about you? I'm in a seminary. I'm educated way beyond my obedience and intelligence. So yeah, I am not stupid. I'm not dumb, but I am a carrier. So don't get too close. So here are some mistakes I've made, I see other parents make. Number one is this, is that we adopt from the get-go a command and control position and philosophy in child raising. Now, I admit, when they're young, you have to. Stay away from the stove. Stay away from the stove. Don't. Well, you know, whatever. You know, they're brain damaged anyway when they're born. But you know what? I mean, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, when you are still using command and control at preteen, 13, 14 years old, you are in deep trouble. Are you with me? But I know parents who never grow beyond the command and control. They treat their 16, 17, 18, 35-year-old son or daughter like they're 4. And you cannot, listen, my daughters are awesome. But I have never, other than when they were little, I didn't tell them what to do. Have you ever had this, you live under my roof, you can do what I say? Well, you know what? They look at you and they just say, bless daddy's heart. Bless his heart. He's a little brain damaged. That's okay. Just go on. You know, have you ever thought that your kids are listening to you and then going on with life as normal? Yeah, because shouting gets you nowhere except laughed at behind your back. Command and control is not what we're opting for. So if you're still a command and control in any of your relationships, you are operating at 101, and no wonder you're not getting any return. I mean, there's a gaping hole in our leadership conversations. I blog a lot, and I'm on Twitter, David H. Foster, if you want to find. The church is on Twitter, G3 Church. And, you know, I like it. I enjoy it. It's a great way to share information and get influenced by people I would never otherwise meet. But in the conversation that goes on in the blogs and other places and in books, there's very little said about leadership at home. The truth of the matter is, if I am not a good leader at home, I'm disqualified to be a leader out in public. Because, listen, no public success will make up for a failure at home. Trust me. Nothing will make up for that. If your kids and your wife can't stand your guts, it doesn't really matter what the boys down at the bar think. It will eat you alive. So you want to get away from command and control. Here's the second thing, the mistake I see parents making all the time, and that is they try to raise their children what I call experience rich and relationship poor, which basically is the conviction that you can't imagine that your children would actually like to spend time with you, that they would rather have your presence rather than your presence. You know why? Because you feel so bad about yourself. You have now not found your identity in Jesus Christ, your worth and your significance and his love and his willingness to redeem you from your fallen and brokenness and to bring you back and declare you to be a son or daughter of God. You feel so bad. You have no sense of self-worth. You have no good, you don't have a respectable self-image of yourself. You don't understand that you are both flawed and amazing and one of a kind. You are both human and created in the image of God. That those things, that those tensions reside in you. You have no sense of that. And so therefore, you have absolutely no sense that your children would actually love you or maybe even admire you. So you want to make up for it by throwing at them a bunch of things. So I've heard guys say, and I've heard ladies say this, you know, I work really hard so I can give my kids the things I didn't have. When did they ask for them? And if they ask for them, who are you to provide every wish and whim they have? Just an idea. Maybe your six-year-old doesn't need her own private AT&T iPhone. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, you know. Maybe there's nothing epic going on between eight-year-old boys, you know, that they need to text each other. And by the way, put off your text right now. I know who's texting. God has put it in my mind. I have a word of knowledge, and I will out you if you don't put it up right now. Relationship poor. Do you understand that your children learn how to relate to other people by relating to you? How you resolve conflict in your home is how they'll resolve it on the playground. How you negotiate peace treaties at home is how they'll negotiate the peace where they go. Are you understanding this? Do you understand? Listen, throwing a bunch of stuff. I've never had a kid look at me and say, I hate my dad because, you know, he failed to give me a brand new Toyota truck. I've heard plenty of guys say, I hate my dad because he never spent any time with me. He never came to any of my games. He never seemed like he was interested in me. It was always work, 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 and he just threw money at me. Money will not buy you love, that great theologian John Lennon said. It won't. A mistake of command and control, a mistake of experience rich, so that my kids can have. Your kids don't need everything you didn't have. You know what they need? They need meat. They need a roof over their head. They need clothes. And they need a home that is safe and secure and loving. Beyond that, you know, everything else is negotiable. Here's a third mistake I see parents make. And this builds on the other two. And that is I underestimate my own power to influence and inspire my children. The only thing I can do at this point is influence my children. See, influence is leadership. Leadership can only be exercised in an environment where you're open to the influence of other people. And we're open to the influence of other people who inspire us. And guess what inspires us? Here it is. Write this down. Excellence inspires us. I'm not talking about perfection. I wrote a whole book on it. You know what excellence is? Excellence is doing the best you can with what you have, where you are, and the time allotted. That's excellence. Doing the best you can, where you are, with what you have, and the time allotted. Because we don't all start at the same place, have the same number of assets, and we don't have the same starting point, and we don't all have the same timeline. Now, do we? I'm not bragging, but this is, you know, it hit me yesterday. My oldest daughter, Erin, just graduated her second degree. Last week, my middle daughter, Lindsay, just graduated her master's degree. And I was just counting up yesterday that between us and the foster family, we got 7 degrees and counting. 7 academic degrees and counting. Paige will be up there before long. We'll have more degrees. And I thought, you know, that's not too bad for 2 18-year-old kids from Barron County. Why is it important that you inspire your children to get a good education? Because you have inspired them that you yourself value learning and thinking, being an intelligent, smart, good person. Amen? Not some goober doofus who bleeps out Jesus to justify your weirdness. Can I hear an amen? I was getting Paul a card this week, and there's this lady there's this really sweet lady trying to help this other lady. She said, "Damn it, I want a card with scripture." Did I just say that? I was going to bleep that out. Did y'all bleep that? Oh. Now, if your kids say, did the pastor say a bad word? You say, no, he didn't. You just misunderstood. And I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of, I'm like, Well, I am. Get away, old lady. Just leave me alone. No, 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 no. I'm not telling you. That's not inspiring. I said, I caught another guy. This is just, yeah, maybe I just attract weird people. God, this is the truth. There's no doubt about it. We were in the Target the other day, and Paula was shopping. I was saying, some of these new Targets have like Starbucks in it, so I'm sitting there reading on my Kindle, minding my own business. There's a guy on the phone for 25 minutes. There's no hair in the story. Out loud. The Holy Spirit told me to get some Jergens lotion and take it over to Mary Beth. But I got there about 5:15. It was Walmart, and so I went over to Target, and the Jergens lotion was out, and so I had to go back to Walmart because it had to be Jergens lotion because the Spirit said it's Jergens lotion. And I want to say, you're a nut. And then he closed a 25-minute conversation of speaking in tongues. Now, I've never spoken in tongues. I know people who have, and I don't dishonor that. I'm not in any way disrespecting that experience. But I'm just telling you, that wasn't it. I'm sorry. You say, but you're being insensitive. No, I'm just not being gullible anymore. That's not inspiring. That is inspiring. Oh, yeah, boy, I heard that guy talk about Jergens lotion, the Holy Spirit, and going down to Mapco and getting $15 worth of gas. Yeah, I want to fall on my feet, repent of my sins, and ask Jesus into my heart. No, 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 no. And do you think by any stretch of the imagination, my three daughters are sitting here listening to me, being inspired by me, if they think I'm a jerk? If I'm some kind of hypocrite, I've been less than perfect. I have let them down many times. But you know what? There have never been a moment that my women have never had my heart. And that's what inspires people, is a man or a woman who has a deep, profound conviction of faith and a love for you. And if you love me, you can inspire me. And if you inspire me, you can influence me. That's why I constantly try to build up our children and realize that, you know what, we better get away from command and control to inspire and influence. Because you know what I found? I thought that, you know, my dad told me, and then my dad from the old school, okay, and it's going to sound worse than it really was. My dad, when I was 16 years old, I graduated from high school at 17. Paul and I did. We're from Kentucky, where he didn't believe in kindergarten and preschool. We just throw you right into the deep end of the pool. And if you can't swim, you can raise tobacco. So that's kind of how we felt about it. My dad said, you know what, son, you're going to graduate here in 3 or 4 months. About time you get out of the house. I said, Daddy, don't worry. The door won't hit my honey. I'll go through it so fast. Now, it was his awkward way of saying, you need to be a man and stand on your own. He could have said it in a much better way. He could have inspired me to do it. He simply told me to do it. Are you with me? There's a big difference in those things. So, on Mother's Day, the idea of fighting for our kids. I mean, you understand that our kids are going to determine what kind of world we retire in. I'm not retiring. I'm just going to die mean. I don't know about you. They will. Listen, my girls, if I live long enough, they're going to choose the nursing home I go to. I want to try to be nice to them as much as I possibly can. You know what I'm saying? They will send me to a vegetarian nursing home, which I will die of good health. If I could revert and go back and be a kid and talk to my parents in light of what I've learned and what my children have taught me, these are the 6 things I would want them to know. 1, parents, understand that as your children, we wear your glasses. We wear your glasses. We see ourselves through you. How you see us, if you belittle us. I've even heard parents say in public, this is no lie, in public, you were an accident. We didn't even want you. You're stupid. Why can you be like your brother? Can you just imagine Jesus and James being raised as little boys and Mary said, James, why can't you be more like Jesus? And Jesus saying, well, mother, now that you mention it, why don't you be more like Jesus? He's perfect. Gee, that would have been tough, wouldn't it? When's the last time you praised your children? Praising people comes hard to a lot of us. And why? Because we were never praised. And we think somehow praising people will deepen them in their mediocrity, and the exact opposite is true. Children see themselves through your glasses, how you see them, what you say to them, how you praise them. I love this African proverb, quote, "In the eyes of its mother, every beetle is a gazelle." Every child is different and unique. I mean, every baby is beautiful to its mother. Now, I've heard somebody say, well, now, there are no ugly babies. Well, you're blind, dude, because there are ugly babies. Have you ever seen any ugly babies? You look at those babies, this is what you say. You don't say, wow, that's an ugly baby. You say, man, I've never seen a kid like that before. And you would be telling the truth. Hey, mom and dad, we see ourselves through your eyes. What are you saying to us? Are you diminishing us? Are you bullying us with your words? Are you using your words to praise us and inspire us and say, you are a winner. You were created by God. He had you in mind. He thought about it. He planned you out. He gave you to your mom and me, and you are special. You are needed. You're important, and I'm here to be your mom and dad, to love you, train you, help you, and inspire you. There is no limit to what you can achieve when you apply yourself. Here's the second thing. I would want my mom and dad to know that I want you to say no in love. I had a situation probably like many of you. My mother loves saying no. No. Well, no. But no. Well, can I talk to Daddy? Yes. Oh, Daddy's an easy touch, man. Daddy was always... Daddy's yes was maybe. Maybe, baby. Yeah, I loved it. If I get him to say maybe, I had it. I just go on. And then they'd fight over it. I said no. I didn't say yes. I just said maybe. It was awesome taking two adults and pitting them toward one another. We took bets. It was great. Put them away through college. Listen to what the scriptures say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's one thing to say no. It's another thing to say it motivated by love. Sometimes we just say no because we don't want to be bothered. Here's what I try to say to my girls as much as I could when they were young, growing. I will never say yes when love demands that I say no, but I will never say no when I can say yes. I will look for every reason to say yes, but sometimes because I love you, it will have to be no or not yes. Yet. Are you with me? And I know a lot of people who are parents who just are scared to death to say no. Because they're scared to death that, you know, if I say no, you won't like me. And listen, your kids are going to go through periods of time when they just do not like you. Are you with me? I mean, you're going to disappoint your kids. You might as well just own up to it. I mean, think about it. You have children who need 24/7, 365 attention. Can I hear an amen? I won't. Feed me, love me, change me, help me, help me, take me, thank me, bless me. And in all of that, you have to work, get your hair cut, have sex, if you're married, of course, have a relationship, clean up your house, work, have sex, go to Walmart, get stuff, put out decorations, do Easter, Halloween, unless it's not against your religion, which is, of course, is against mine, Christmas. You have to remember all the birthdays. You have to travel. Have you ever just looked at all you got to do and says, I can't get it done, I'm going to disappoint somebody? Okay, just get over it. They'll get over it. You know why? Because one day they'll be an adult, they'll be married, they'll have kids, and they'll want to have sex. I mean, you just understand that sometimes you got to say no, and you're not going to make everybody happy. You know what? And your kids, if they know that their love will forgive you long enough to grow up one day and realize, you know what? It's just the way life is. You can't meet everyone's demands. It's unrealistic. So that leads me to my next two points, and that is we listen with our eyes. We listen with our eyes. My girls are grown now, and so I've forgotten a little bit of this until we've gotten a new dog. Her name is Cooper. And I've really focused, okay, this is our fourth family dog, and I'm going to, like, be good to Cooper and not neglect Cooper and kind of think about Cooper. And one thing I learned about Cooper, this is true in all dogs, but I'm just now learning, is as long as you have Cooper's, as long as you have eye contact, she'll do anything. But if she ever turns her head to the left or right, mission control, we have lost contact. She is in a whole other world, buddy. I mean, it is gone. You know, as long as she's looking at you, you're, come here, come here. Bug, 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 bug. Bug, 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 bug. Lint, 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 lint. Stale baloney, stale baloney, stale baloney. I mean, it's just, you know, like, yeah. So here's the, she connects with her eyes, not with her ears. Kids are the very same way. When they see, you can say do this, but if you're doing that, are they going to do this or that? They're going to do that. They're going to do what you do. You know why? Because they listen with their eyes. If you don't want your kids to smoke, don't smoke. Are you with me? Is this brain surgery? No. But I know people who scream and yell and exhibit behavior that they don't want their kids exhibiting, and they wonder why their kids can't get along at school because you can't get along with your wife. Because you scream and bully, they scream and bully. Are you with me? They're not going to do what you say. They're going to do what you do. You have to model it at home. Model the behavior you want to see reproduced in them. The Bible says, train your child. Teach your child. Be a student of your child. Understand that I listen through my eyes. Here's the fourth thing. Here's all the men. We don't need a friend, guys. We need a father. We don't need a friend. We don't need a buddy. We need a father. We need a father who's there, engaged. He who spares the rod hates his son. I love that. Let's beat him. But if the Bible says beat him right there, if the Bible says beat him, you ought to beat him. My daddy beat me. I'm okay. I've been in jail 3 or 4 times, but then I'm okay. Got a little addiction, a couple of compulsions. But that's okay. My daddy beat me, and I turned out okay. The Bible doesn't advocate the beating of children. It advocates the discipline of children. Listen to this. But he who loves him is what?
Careful.
What?
Careful.
What?
Careful.
Which means you don't discipline your children because you're a big bad bully and you can do it. You're not some big overgrown ogre. I know people who say, well, I can't wait to have children. I'll just treat them just like my parents treated me. Really? Well, you need to be locked up, dude. What a rotten attitude. Want to be a parent. Careful. How many of you know that one style of disciplining a child won't work with the other one? You send one, all right, time out. You go over there and put your nose in that corner. Don't you come out. One of them will just say, great, I'll just take me a couple of books. And about 4 hours later, you got to go and they won't out of that corner. And some other, you take Joey and put him in that corner. You say, touch your nose to that corner. Mommy, I can't do this. I'm about to die. There's a snake in my pants. If the police came, you would be arrested for child abuse. You haven't even touched him. I mean, discipline. That's why the Bible says be careful. For discipline. The goal is not to hurt. The goal is to train, to correct. And at the time, as a father, I have to, you have to apply discipline, right? And let me just tell you right now, here's the deal. You can either discipline your children today out of love, or we will discipline them as a society out of fear. It's called putting them in prison. So one is redemptive and the other is punitive. So fathers, I want to just say this to you. If you want to keep your sons out of jail, discipline them at home. Find a way to discipline them. They don't need a buddy. They need a father. They'll be your buddy later. They'll thank you later. Trust me. They'll thank you maybe much later, but they'll thank you later. Here's the next one to the ladies. I want you to understand that I don't need a maid. I need a mother. I don't need a maid. Listen, let me just say this to you, all you mothers out there. Do not mother your children out of your need for them to affirm you as an individual. You better find that affirmation in your relationship with God. Now, let me stop and say something that maybe I have erred on the side of, but let me just correct it right now. I talked about this in the last service, and the guy came up to me afterwards in a very loving and kind and gracious and tender way, says, you know what, I appreciate what you had to say, but tell them to teach them to love Jesus. Well, that's what I thought I was doing. So if I have not told you that, let me just tell you right now, that teach your children how to love Jesus so that they can find their self-worth and significance in him and not in their performance or in their children. If you will know God, love what he loves, and do what he's blessing. When I say the word God, I mean Jesus. I'm not talking about God in the abstract. I'm talking about J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, Jesus. I'm a Jesus guy, okay? But Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, and sometimes it's confusing, isn't it? So when I say, what I want you to do as a mother is to mother your children out of the strength of your relationship with Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this. It is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who determined your worth, your significance, and your value. It is Jesus Christ. It is the Bible, not religion. Religion has been unkind to you, ladies. Let's admit it. It has made you second-class citizens. But I dare you, I put the gauntlet down, that challenge any of you to show me anywhere in the Bible where God ever diminishes the role, the value, and the significance of women. It ain't there. It ain't there. It just ain't there. Not even the Apostle Paul hated women like some people want you to think he did. You read what all the Bible says about women and godly women and what they mean and what they do and what they contribute. And without women, we would be nowhere. I said that last week. I hope that you heard that. It takes a good woman to turn a boy into a man. No doubt about it. So don't back in, ladies, in your relationship with your kids. You got to take care of them. You got to clean their room. You got to give them everything they want. You got to be their maid. You don't need a maid. They need a mother. They need an example of what it means to be a godly woman. And sometimes that means kicking butt and taking names. In Jesus' name, can I hear an amen? Here's the last one. We tend to repeat your mistakes. Listen to this powerful scripture. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Here it is. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Let me tell you exactly what that means. Here's what it means. I'm a guy who was raised in church. I was raised in church. They were filled with a bunch of hypocrites. It was religion. I didn't connect. My parents didn't live it. It didn't seem to mean anything to them. It means less to me. So I don't go to church. I feel justified by not going to church because there's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites who go to church. And so I don't go to church. And guess what? My kids go to church because I want them to grow up and not steal someone else's tires so I won't have to bail them out of prison. Because maybe church would teach them morals. I send them to church and realize that the church isn't any better at morals than I am. And so I don't even send them to church. So I don't go to church and they don't go to church, but I did go to church and I got some sense of what the Bible's about and that Jesus is not the same thing as religion. And I got some kind of affinity. And so I live a certain moral life connected to the ethic of Christ in the Bible. But my kids don't, because they never win. They have kids who never go, and they have kids who never go, and they have kids who never go, and they have kids who are atheists, and they have kids who didn't see any value of the church, any value of worship, any value of building a church, any value of service, any value of sacrifice, any worth and significance that they have intrinsically apart from what they contribute. They are only worth the kind of insurance they can afford to keep them alive when they're almost dead. So the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Because listen, let me just say this to you. The church, the gospel, ethics, goodness, and righteousness are not spread over the TV. They're spread through families. They're spread from a godly man and a godly woman who have children who raise them in a community, a church that's redemptive and loving and supportive, and teach them the importance of the Bible and truth and Jesus and life and their place in it. And they teach their children, they teach their children, they teach their children, and they raise a generation of children who love God and honor God, who seek to know Him, seek to love Him, to love what He loves, to do what He's blessing. So the Bible can do this, that I show my love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So here's the deal. If we want to save America, let's just raise a whole crop of good, godly kids. Let's raise some young boys into men who know how to treat women, who know how to work ethically, who understand where their bread is buttered, who love God and seek to be men of God. Let's raise a whole crop of women who understand what it means to be a woman, to be feminine, to be strong, to be tough, to be tender. They'll not settle for any guy that comes along just because, you know, he calls himself Christian. But they'll find a godly guy and a godly girl and come together, and they have godly kids, and they'll have godly grandkids, and they'll have godly we end up with a Google. That's how we're going to save the world. Do you know that? I close with this. I was several years ago, while Pedro Garcia was still here, he was the head of Metro School Superintendent. I was in a meeting, and he was talking about there's 120-something thousand grade age kids in Metro, and of that, some less than 70,000 were in Metro School and the rest were in private school, both private religious and private academic. And through the discussion, someone said, Dr. Garcia, if you could do one thing to fix the schools in Metro, what would it be? Now, that was an interesting response. You know what he said? He said, I'd close every private school in Davidson County. Of course, there was a whole, He said, not because I'm against religion. He said, I think it's important to teach faith. Not because I'm not against excellence. I think that's important. It's not for the kids that we get back. It's for the parents who would come with those kids. He said, for where you have a school where parents are involved, you have a great school. Because it doesn't just take great kids. And it doesn't just take great teachers. It creates parents showing up and being parents at school. Amen? Amen. You can clap for that. So bottom line is this. God gave you kids. You're going to have to fight for them. You can't blame the government. You can't blame me. You can't blame MTV. And you can't blame Elvis Presley. He's dead. Despite what you've been told. It's me and you, boys and girls. God has handed to us the privilege to raise a godly generation. Father, I pray right now that you will drive deep into our soul the message of today, that we would be inspired to be godly fathers and godly mothers, that we would love our kids and challenge our kids and train our kids and discipline where they need it and guide them and help them and support them and send them out there in the world to be everything they were created to be, that they would find a godly husband and a godly wife and they would raise godly kids. They would know what it's like to be a part of a loving community of faith that challenged them and loved them and held them up and sent them out and supported them and inspired them, that taught them in their mind and motivated them in their actions and supported them in their emotions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Go get them.